So yeah. It's like the shit marijuana when you're 15. Yeah, anyway. Can you cut that out? Or
I can cut anything out, mate.
Yeah, I'm a wizard.
I can cut space and time. Hello, you. It's time once again to pour one out with the Pouring Old Man. This is episode 35 of the Pouring Old Man podcast. Season 3, episode 1, if you're counting at home. I'm Russell. I'm one of your hosts. Pouring one out with me today is the Ant-Man, Anthony Pitt.
Hey, mate, how's it going?
Oh, good, mate. It's been a long time.
It has been a long time.
I had to write a script for this one. It's been so long.
Well, I was waiting for the name in between. Ant-Man, okay, we'll go with that.
Go with that. And with me today is Captain America himself. Chris Evans is here. Chris from next door.
I like that. Season 3.
It is. Exciting. I know. This is where it shows either get cancelled or go get you stronger. So
we beat Firefly.
I'm trying to think of what are the shows I watched that only went 2 seasons. There's an old legal drama called I think it's like Legal One or something like that.
I don't remember.
The first season was amazing, like a really good first season. They focused on one case of the whole season, really good. Then the second season, like, let's do everything different. It's like, oh, that's just shit.
Yeah. There you go.
Hmm. Yeah, come to think of it, you can't think of any 2 season wonders, can you?
Not too many.
Not good ones, anyway. Normally, the ones that go half a season to get cancelled, there's a reason why they got cancelled.
Yes.
Well, the season 3, we must be good.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
There we go. Like that segue.
Well, I mean, as I say, we are the number one Australian beer podcast in Estonia.
Yes.
Yes.
Good milestone.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll keep tracking that.
Haven't released the episode for a month and we've still got still in the top 100 over there. So
imagine if we were like the number one beer podcast in, let's say, Iran. Heavily Muslim type country. Salaam alaikum.
Probably someone hacked the account and used it to distribute Al-Qaeda information on the back of it or something like that. If you listen to our podcast backwards, it tells you how to defuse a nuclear bomb or something. I said defuse. That's better. I don't want to be causing trouble or anything like that.
We're no longer available.
That went nowhere.
You can catch us on Al Jazeera Podcast Network. So, who are we? We are the Pouring Old Man. Just a couple of old timers sitting on the back porch talking about the beers we love. We release fresh episodes of the show into the wild every Tuesday morning on all your favourite podcast services. If you like what you hear, be sure to leave us a like, a rating, a review, and tell all your friends how good we are. And if you don't like us, just lie.
Please.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, we're happy for you to lie and give us 5-star and say we're the best ever. So.
You can also follow the Pouring Old Man on Facebook and Instagram. Plus, you can also find Pouring Old Russ, Pouring Old Pity, and Pouring Old Wazza on Instagram, which probably mentioned Pouring Old Wazza. We'll get back to him. Yeah. Where you can catch even more of our views, reviews, news, and whatever, and all the beers that don't make it onto the show.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Wazza's not here today. I think he's running...
COVID.
He's running military exercises or he's off an army base. He said he had to go look at some guy's privates. So I assume he's at an army barracks somewhere. So.
Yeah. He did have gloves and a mask on, so.
Well. Yeah. And cough. No. If you miss the episode, you get punished.
Yeah,
you get punished, you know?
Fair enough, yeah.
Before we get banned from every podcast service and rated explicit everywhere, what the hell have you guys been drinking?
I'll go with recent because it has been a while since I've been on a podcast, so I'll try and just do a couple of good ones. Our old favourite, Creature of the Night.
Yes.
From Aether.
Yep. Yeah,
peanut butter stout.
I've indulged at least one of those already. Yeah,
yeah,
it's just such a such a good relaxing beer. Like it's not one that I would have a few off in a session. Just end of night, one of them.
It's a one only sort of beer for the evening, but really tasty. Another surprising dark beer that I really enjoyed was Feral Brewing's Dark Matter Porter.
Oh, okay,
really good.
Yeah,
It was probably not as smoky and as sort of as I guess, deep as some of the porters are. Yep. It had more of a chocolatey taste to it and more of a milk chocolate sort of flavour, yep. but it was really enjoyable.
Yeah. I haven't seen that one around, actually. Yeah. So, yeah.
Weirdly, I'm sure I picked it up at Dan Murphy's. Of all places, yeah. I did try the collab from Bridge Road's range and I've got to remember the other brewer, Sailor's Grave Brewing.
Oh, yeah. Is it the
3.5 ID?
Yes. I did have that one as well at some point.
Yeah. I think I had too high expectations for it. Just with the breweries on there, I just thought it was going to be sort of just beer of the year contender.
I can't remember anything about it, so I don't think it was either memorable or anything bad. It was a beer I had, and it's gone.
That was it. And that's sort of the way I'd sort of review it, is it was good without being special. And the last one was Dark Harvest from Bridge Road Brewers. It was really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't he to spare count of that for me at some point, and he's not here today, so... And given what I just said about him, I'm probably not going to get that.
Yeah. I liked it because it was very much an IPA first, just a dark IPA, basically black.
I've got a whole bunch of Kiwi Bears I've tried. I'm going to save that for a future episode. I've got a few Kiwi Bears that somehow haven't been drunk in the fridge
yet. Yeah, that's surprised.
You're telling me. You're surprised. I'm amazed. I wanted to hit up, I've been trying to get onto Range Brewing and try to fall in love with Range and get a good Range beer. Because the ones I've had so far have just been,
They're good beers without being that.
Yeah,
the way they just
haven't grabbed me. So I had Maverick Double Dry Hop Pale Ale from Range Brewing.
Yep,
and this was good.
Okay,
yeah, they're also so they should run with these hazies. Yeah. They should focus on that. But no, it was really nice. Just that big tropical hit sort of thing, and just really good fruit.
Passion fruit, mango, pineapple, mango.
And really enjoyable. So yeah, it was absolute cracker. So I think I've just been picking the wrong Range beers.
Yeah.
Not that they weren't that bad, but yeah. So that was all right. I also had one of their, it's called Spellcheck. It was oatmeal stout, which it's just a nice stout.
Yeah.
Well, nothing spectacular, but it wasn't trying to be, so that was all right.
Yeah.
Probably my dud of the week, and this surprised me and disappointed me, was from Mr. Banks.
Mm.
A Month of Sundays.
Yes.
Yeah, right. It's a bit of a dumpster fire, I must admit. It's supposed to be obviously a Sunday thing beer, and it was loaded up with like white chocolate chips and nuts and cinnamon and banana chips and peanuts and stuff like
Too
that.
Too much.
It just tastes like cinnamon. All I could taste was cinnamon.
I was going to say, I could see the problem is cinnamon. Had it
before
with some other beer.
Who puts cinnamon on a bloody Sunday anyway?
Well, yeah.
I mean, come on.
But it's happened with another beer that we had that cinnamon took over. I don't know whether it's just cinnamon flavor in that sort of process just destroys everything.
Yeah, and it was very heavy beer. I think it's 11.8%. So it was boozy and it was cinnamon, and it just wasn't enjoyable. Like, it just which
is sad because coming up with Golden Oldies, I think Mr. Banks may feature a fair bit.
and especially the price bloody paid for it. When it's north of $20, you kind of want it to be I splurged it a little bit, but I thought, I'll have this. I want a really nice decadent beer. And it wasn't decadent, was it? It was,
disappointing.
I was extremely disappointed with that one. So next up, I had a couple of sort of coffee-themed beers. Seems to be the trend at the moment. So Bad Shepherd, they got Espresso Martini Black Lager. That's nice. It's coffee, it's dark. Lager. Yeah, it's a dark lager. So it's not as heavy and roasty and toasty as like your pours and stuff. It was fine. It was nice. But the best coffee one I had was actually from Pirate Life. It can be a bit wishy-washy, but this one they actually nailed is Coffee Porter with Airy Roasted Coffee. And that's superb. That was really, really good. It always depends on the quality of the coffee you use. I'm guessing these guys make really good coffee.
Yeah.
So I compare it with, I think Bacchus, they did a coffee one, and they use cheap coffee. I think they were intending to do it anyway. It just tasted like cheap coffee. So again, coffee snob, I know.
Because Helios, when they do their coffee stouts, I think they use single origin.
Coffee. Yeah, yeah.
Really good stuff, and it tastes good.
Yeah.
And that's coming from a non-coffee drink.
Yeah. But so the Pirate Life Coffee Porter, really good. I highly recommend that one, actually. The other one I want to mention as well is, always delve into the series, Garage Project Surrender to the Void.
Yep.
Chocolate, miso, and black sesame.
Yes, did you get a hold of it?
I did. I got a hold of one. And yeah. what an interesting beer. Yeah. Like, the main thing that stands out is the chocolate. It's okay. The miso and the black sesame just serve to streamline the chocolate straight into it. Because the miso, I've never had miso in my life, but what I read about it, it's supposed to be like umami, kind of savory kind of flavor.
Umami,
and then the black sesame, kind of a nuttiness. And
yeah.
Both those seem to combine to make the chocolate less sweet and then a stronger flavor. It's just something that gave a more clear flavor of chocolate. And
I sort of picture it almost like going into a salted caramel.
Yeah, there wasn't much saltiness there. Like,
okay.
You could easily say like the miso and the black sesame didn't do much, but then, and as I was sort of sipping, it was very much an intense, sippy kind of beer, but then the chocolate was just so strong. Like, and so I'm just assuming that those were added there to make the chocolate stand out by itself. So it was interesting. I mean, I don't think I could have another one because it was really intense, really almost overbearingly sweet. Not overbearingly sweet, but it's overbearingly intense.
Yes.
So, but anyways, another interesting one from them anyway. So,
yeah.
Right. My turn.
Your turn.
Couldn't remember if I tried it at Gab's or not, but on the weekend I had Black Ops, Old Greg.
Old Greg, yes. Yeah, we did. Yeah. I know. Actually, I think we did have that one.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
By that stage, yeah. But anyway, I had a can of that. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. I could sit there and yammer on about it. And Black Ops get enough praise and love.
Yep.
Wherever. But Old Greg, yeah, definitely hands down a winner.
Yep.
So what style is Old Greg?
Yeah, good question. It's black. It's thick. It's delicious.
Chocolate, vanilla, almond, and espresso.
That's right. Yeah.
They also had it on Nitro at Gabs.
Yeah.
I split a can with my father-in-law on the weekend, so dropped it in when I was out there.
Yep.
No, absolutely delicious beer. Like, for something that's the big, bold, and robust with those flavours, it was very quite smooth, very easy drinkable, and can really sneak up on you and really scare the shit out of you. In saying that, I had a shitload of other beers, but that's the only one that I can't be biased on. So I'll say that. Yeah.
All right, time for show and tell number one. First up, Chris, what have you brought to the table there?
I've got a Tinny's Hazy Pale Ale, 100% Australian made, 4.8%. And this one, I sort of chose this one because you're finding more and more so-called craft beer becoming more and more mainstream.
Yep.
And I believe it's only about $48 a carton.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 24 at first choice.
Yep.
It's one of the ones you don't know if you want to try it, and I figured it'd be good to bring out here.
Yeah, and because Tinny's is, I believe it's the Coles or the Liquorland sort of home brand beers.
It is that.
They used to be brewed by, I think Brick Lane used to brew a lot of their beers, and they used a couple of other places to brew some of them. So
yeah, they're a bit of a gypsies.
Yeah, they just get other brewers to brew something under a different label kind of thing, so... Just look at the packaging. They've changed their packaging recently. They've gone for the reverse Bolter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, Bolter's white on top, colour down the bottom. This is like colour on top, white on the bottom. So
yeah, instead of that multicoloured sort of random.
I didn't actually mention, but I did have another one of these. Not this one, but I had a Tinny's beer the other day. It was a hot cross.
That's what
and it was interesting. I got it because, you know, you think Tinny's, again, it's a Coles private label, they'll just stick with the basics.
Yep.
Because
didn't you previously say that they did another dark beer?
They did. They did a cherry coconut dark beer like last year. And I was like, that's not what I expect from there. And then I was going through, first choice the other day, and they had the hot cross bun one, which... It's probably the worst time to really release a hot cross bun beer because we're about 3 months or 4 months past Easter, and we've got about another 6 months to go before Cole starts selling hot cross buns on Boxing Day.
Yeah.
And
exactly right.
So there's a kind of, let's release it in July. Really?
Yeah. Pushing the friendship now, just going further,
And I noticed on the can too, they're actually vegan friendly.
Ah.
Mm. There you go.
Unlike myself. I'm not very friendly to vegans.
No. Two vegans that push there. Meant to be juicy, citrusy, luscious, creamy, dry hopped. I know I'm not excited about this, but I'm
It's curious to see where they stand. Yeah, 100%.
Because at that price point, if it's a solid beer, it's...
Could
it's
be revolutionised.
Yeah. A good fridge filler option as well, so...
Yeah, 100%. So, alright.
At least a Kraken. You don't need it that close.
I nearly wet the mic again. Alright, we'll start with you, Penny.
It's a really light colour.
It is. For a pale ale, you want it sort of a bit darker, you know? Not
yeah, it's a very light straw.
Looks like a half hydrated piss.
That first one after you've had about five or six beers,
it's definitely not
the bladder.
It's definitely not the color of Russell's piss after Gabs.
Mate, that shit was coming over rainbows, didn't it?
Yeah, man. So light frothy head. That's not too bad, I suppose, for a can.
You're all right. It's a very sort of that light kind of wishy washy yellowy kind of.
It's not,
colour to it, like
it's not the pale ale colour. You're not. It's like using pale malts.
It's
meant to be a little bit darker.
And it's not double dry hop, so it doesn't have that full cloudiness to it. It's just got kind of that halfway point. Which again, it is what it is. It's a hazy pale, I suppose. So. Yeah,
it's crisp.
It does have a nice smell though. Like, it does have that.
It is sort of citrusy on the nose. Yeah.
It's definitely fruity sort of aroma in it.
Mm.
Didn't match the smell.
It's not big. Big flavor.
No.
Wait for it. No. It's kind of bland. Mm. You know what I mean? Like it's not. There's a bit of flavor there. It's not punchy like you get from a really good hazy pale. Like I'm always iffy with the hazy pales. Like I like them, but there's a lot out there that just they're very light. They're just light on flavor, and they just don't have the oomph that I really want.
Potentially, if I was going to someone's place that I knew didn't drink craft beer.
Yeah, that's a good point.
This would potentially be an option for someone like that.
Yeah. Mm. Or if you're at just a normal sort of BWS or liquor land, and you look on the shelf and there's your Forex VBs,
and there's no
you've got James Squire, and they don't have that, and they have that. Like, all right, I'll have that.
Yeah.
If you go to the way First Choice is these days, where they do have Ballistic and Bolter and Black Ops and every other brewery, so would be Bent Spoke, sitting there, I wouldn't do it. Especially when a lot of those other ones, the price isn't that far ahead of that.
No.
Like you can buy the Hawaiian Haze for $13 a four pack, even the IPA version for $18 a four pack.
What is it, 16 beers for 50 with the
hazies, isn't it? Something like that. Yeah. It's quite.
Which, if you are for a better quality beer,
Like when the Tinnies brand first came around, it was a cheap alternative craft, and there's a real good market there.
Yes,
you get at low price as opposed to paying $25 for a four pack of that. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Whereas these days, you can go to these bigger bottle shops and get some really good craft beer for not much dosh. Yeah.
That's true. Especially the markdown bit.
Yes.
When you think about it, clearly they're accommodating for the Great Northern Forex Gold movement, and they're trying to convert people.
The transitional beers.
Yeah, that's you wouldn't say shit, but it's shit for people that have been on crafties for a bit.
Yeah,
that's probably the fair thing to say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a good one though. It's a good entry level beer.
Yeah,
I want to try something different. Go for that, and
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing offensively bad with the beer. It's drinkable, it's enjoyable, it's just light on flavour to what we're kind of used to. Yeah.
So it's like the shit marijuana when you're 15. To nose beers when you're in your... Yeah, anyway. It's the gateway.
Gateway's a good way of putting it, because I could see trying to convince the old man to have a craft, and this would be
it is odd.
Why do you say that? That's how I come across this.
It is oddly refreshing though. It's a very refreshing in the back end. I'll give it that, but it's just
if you're broke, it's grand final day and you want to have a big session, that's what you're going
to
do.
If you've got mates coming over and you don't want them to drink your good beer, this is a good option to go for.
That's true.
Alright, who wants to vote at first?
We'll just say so. After complaining about our scoring system from last season, we've updated again.
So from season one,
so we're going to score things on a 1 to 1,000 scale. No. Going back to 10-point scale.
Yeah.
Now, are you doing half marks, buddy, or what?
We will see. I will try and keep around total.
Yeah. Then, but basically, our thought processes. Yeah, it gives a bit more sort of range, and just we're probably giving. We're giving away too many perfect scores to bears that don't deserve it. Just because they deserve more than a 4 out of 5, but not quite a 5. And everything's kind of falling into the middle there. So,
they would have been a lot of 8 or 9 bears.
Yeah,
not
that's right. Score bears. So, with that in mind, I'll give this a 10. No.
So, you would jump on a plane to go get it?
Oh, mate. I've already left the building, mate. I've just edited my voice in afterwards. Well, it's just a very fine average bear, and so a very fine average mark would be 6.
Wouldn't 5 be average?
I said fine average.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's just a little bit above average.
Yeah, right. That's a pretty good score.
Yeah.
I like that.
Mm.
A six. So, would you leave it at your neighbour's house?
Yes.
But you would drink it, though, too.
I'll drink it. It's not like I can't drink it. If I forgot to, if I left it in your fridge, I'll be sitting there. You can have it.
Do that anyway.
If it's like a Hawaiian or something like that, I'll come over. Did I leave my wallet here? I know I left some beer. I'll grab them anyway.
If you've had two where they're like 10% beers, and you just want that last refreshing one.
I like that. Yeah.
Circumstantial.
Yeah. It's a tricky one, isn't it?
It's a good palate cleanser as well.
Yeah.
Like lemon sorbet.
Yeah, exactly.
The lemon sorbet.
The lemon sorbet of craft beers. There you go.
Right.
But not the good lemon sorbet, the home brand version.
So you're a 6. We're going to give it a 5. Just smack bang in the middle there.
Yep.
Yeah, I would drink it again, but it wouldn't be my first go-to.
Yeah.
So I'm with that. I'm a 5.
There'd be particular circumstances for me to drink that again. Like there's, no better options.
Mm. Yeah. The fact that I have another one got it to a 5 rather than a 4.
Yeah. Very circumstantial. You would pick it up. Not a carton.
Yeah.
No. Maybe a 6-pack.
Yep.
From your local.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Sunday afternoon. South Sydney about to flog the Broncos.
Well, it depends. If you're a Broncos supporter, you probably want the bottle of vodka or tequila to knock yourself out before the game starts.
Yeah.
So triple or quadruple IPA.
Exactly. Yeah.
I reckon that's a fair score. I think 6. Yeah, I understand
your
6.
Mm-hmm.
I was borderline 6.
Well, I was borderline between 5 and 6, but it doesn't taste horrible. It just doesn't taste
great,
strong,
it's not great.
Yeah.
Probably,
in a few weeks' time. In a few weeks' time, is one of these beers that we have on the show that I'll forget we've even had it.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Like is it, that beer from I can't remember what beer I'm talking about.
Smart ass.
All right. Next up on the show, some of you might know there was a bit of a beer festival shindig around Brisbane a few weeks back. The old Gabs Festival came to town. I think it's the second time it's been to Brisbane. Got cancelled last year.
It did.
We were fortunate enough. Helios gave us a couple of tickets. Thank you,
Helios.
Thank you, Pity, for answering correctly on the site and not being able to go. So I went instead. So
it was great. I got the tickets and didn't get to go.
I was peppering them every day, what beer it was. I went from Dunkel's to... Even spelt American and Belgium, didn't read out of letters all for that competition. To Russell going, I'm going, what is this? Russell goes, oh, it's American Porter. Pity you got tickets. I'm like, no! Thought I had it.
But yeah, we thought we'd discuss what we had and how it was and what we can remember anyway. Things got a little bit hairy towards the end there.
There is video footage.
We're hitting up TikTok during that, weren't we?
We did.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I hope I wasn't naked at that time.
Oh, fuck.
I know I woke up in the middle of the night after it and I was crooked as a dog.
You were already naked on the train trip back to Darra.
I was cold, so maybe.
You were too. Oh, man, what a night.
So you just cuddle up to that person, that odd person.
I wouldn't know him that.
Sits on the train to Darra.
No, Chris was the other person there, so he's too hairy for my liking.
Extra warmth.
It's not hugging a cactus, mate. Come on.
I'll take that. Where do we start?
Where do we start? Do you want to go run through the beers we had?
I'll probably run through the night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, as you walk in with the big epic music, as Gabs do, and
Because this is my first beer festival as well. I've actually, you know, been to a beer festival before. This is my entry point. I didn't know what the go was. Yeah. I only learned there was an app for it on the ride there. Like, oh, download the app. There's an app.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which was a few people were printing off, planning.
And I only realised that you could leave notes on the beers that you drank, like you hit the beer on it and you leave like notes and scores and stuff. I only realised that when I was writing notes for the show.
So basically, yeah.
It's a bit late by then.
untap for gaps.
Exactly. So I was trying, here I'm trying to remember what these beers taste like, if I liked them or not, and there's a thing built into the app that I could have been using the whole time.
Going in, lots of beers to choose from.
Yep.
I think we made the biggest error of hitting the big Imperial and stuff early.
Yeah, it was... The problem was, like, there was, like, 200 beers on offer, and when you're trying to choose a beer to drink, there's certain keywords that kind of, like, go front and centre, that grab your attention. Like, it might be different combination of flavours, or just the word Imperial. It's like, ooh, Imperial.
Yes.
Do you want the dark ale or the Imperial dark ale? Oh, okay, I'll go the dark ale with the Imperial in front of it.
Yeah,
like, speaking of Imperials, standout, the Imperial Monkey, Barossa Valley. Remember that
one? Yes, the barrel-fermented Russian Imperial Stout with rum addition.
Yeah, I remember you gave me that, and I went, wow.
Yeah, that was one of the first ones we had.
Yeah.
Again, like, highlighting our era of going hard too early.
Yep.
Although, we didn't go any harder than, on the first platter, all three of us had, one from Black Flag Brewing, good, we're not here to fighters.
Which was delicious.
Which was a delicious 14% American Pale. I was like, wow, this is going downhill fast. And it certainly did.
I did hear a lot of good reviews on that beer. So
yeah, it's one of those real dangerous ones. It didn't taste like a 14% beer. And just, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Boston Brewing, Imperial Black Forest Cake Stout. Remember that one?
I remember the name.
Yeah, I remember the name. But it was a bit of blur. I didn't mind that one either.
Yeah.
I remember saying to myself, I'm going to remember these guys.
There's one on the first paddle that was a... It was a rum barrel beer, and it just tasted like, you know, if you go to a mate's place and he serves you a bourbon and coke, and way too much bourbon, not enough coke. It tastes
very,
like that.
Very boozy.
It was very boozy, but sickly. I don't want to say who I think it was because I'm probably wrong. Actually, no, I know which one it was. It was the Bay Road Brewing Double Dark Tropical Rum Nipah.
Yeah,
that was it. It was
interesting to read. I think that's why you got it.
And I got it, and then it's one of these things. It didn't sink into me that it was a Nipah.
Nipah is an interesting one with the...
Yeah. And so when I sat down, I thought, oh, yeah, this is a Nipah. And it just tastes like the rum was probably too strong. I'll get out the duds of the night, though.
Yeah.
I think you'll probably remember this one as soon as I say it. Of course, we had, you know, a few episodes ago, the Ben & Jerry's beer,
I was getting that one.
Four Pints had a whole like ice cream truck.
Funnily enough, the more I reflect on that beer, the lower the score I'm thinking.
I think I went way over.
It doesn't get better when you're pissed.
No, and they had a few different flavors. They had a creme brulee, a banana split, and a red velvet, and they're all shit.
No, the creme brulee was
there's a better of them.
Possible.
That was the better one. I remember clearly that because I went, hang on, that actually tastes nice. But I don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that
makes no sense at all.
The chocolate banana split one, that just tastes like wet air.
Yeah.
Like, it just had no flavour and all. Yeah. No flavour, no substance. And then, I think, was it the red velvet or something? Again, tastes like...
Disappointing.
Did you mention the Robert Brownie Jr.?
No.
Blackman's Brewing, Robert Brownie Jr. Points for the name.
And Blackman's Brewing. I think underrated too. It's one of those ones that just...
I don't know much about them.
Doesn't get a lot of...
The name seems familiar, but I can't picture a beer of theirs, so...
No, but every time I see someone have one, they always comment that...
And they must be good because their brewery name starts with B. It seems to work.
It's just a
given, Little Creatures Stout Teeny.
Now, yes, I'm glad you bring it out because that is probably my favourite beer of the whole night.
Okay.
Was Little Creatures Stout Teeny. Like espresso martini. I went to this stand. Like, want to try the Radiator Hot Chocolate Stout, which was fine. I barely remember it though.
It was a bit meh.
Yeah. But the Stout Tinny was amazing. Yeah.
It was mint.
The one beer I really got to mention because it was amazing that it actually didn't taste like crap was from Willie the Boatman. It was the Marrickville Lamb Souvlaki.
Ooh.
It was a souvlaki flavored beer.
I remember that.
And it was
a lamb mint fat.
Yeah. So they brewed it with lamb broth in it.
Cucumber.
They had,
meaty.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
And it worked. Yeah. It was really good. It was, of course, they load up.
Cucumber, I guess.
Yes.
Just the meaty.
The meat didn't really stand out. The meat was there just as though they could probably call it that. Yeah. But all the cucumber, the mint and stuff like that. And it's like, you sipped it. Why is that? That actually tastes like a souvlaki. Like that's
interesting. I don't know if we ate them gimmicky beers, but that was nice.
Yeah. In a way, I went to taste it just because I thought this is going to be disgusting. It's something to talk about, but no, they absolutely nailed it.
The pickle beer and those.
Yeah, exactly. It was one of those moments. It was a pickle beer moment. I want to see this car crash in action, and actually, they drove really well. but yeah, no, that was a surprising one. That was really good. Oh, Mountain Culture. They had a whole range of their favourite beers called Sold Out.
Yeah, called Sold Out.
Yeah. I've got here Mountain Culture. Just kidding, they were all sold out.
Even when they sold out, they still had more people than James Squirrel.
One that surprised me, and we're in a good long chat with these guys, actually, I believe. Australian Brewery.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
I've always thought Australian Brewery, like, such a generic name. I thought they were linked with Coca-Cola or something like that, but apparently not.
I think I've had an Australian Brewery.
Cool guys.
Yeah, very cool guys. Yeah. We're a good yarn to them. I think we've got contact details with them.
Yeah, we're going to have a podcast at some point.
Hopefully.
With
them. Yeah. They won Mango. I wrote down Mango number 3, but I think it was Mango number 5. I might have got the name wrong in my notes. That was really good. A really good mango-y sort of beer. They won good Old Cattle Dog Dark Ale, which is really tasty as well. Just a really good, simple dark beer. So those are some really good beers.
They need some love, I reckon. Yeah. They really do.
I think having just such a generic name, like, it sounds like a Tinny's brand sort of beer.
Mm.
And that's what I've always put them down as, like, they're like, you know, Tinny's or John Boston or stuff like that.
Yeah. They're hiding, but...
Yeah,
a larger company,
and they're also super passionate as well. We spoke to, I think it was the brewer, and he was super passionate. Great chat with him and stuff. I can't remember anything of it.
Whatever we asked, they're pretty transparent.
Yeah,
which was really cool.
You want me to rattle off a few more? Got here.
I've got one here. Yep. Urban Alley Brewery, the maple banana split your pants.
Yeah, that was crap.
Remember that?
Yeah,
yeah. It was a bit of a letdown. Like, I remember looking for the big banana notes.
You want the maple and the banana? I don't think they had anything.
No,
I barely remember that beer. Other than that,
it's flavors that should work and should.
It should be distinctive, but it just didn't go.
I've had a couple of dunkles lately that have been Wheese beers, I should say, that missing that mark. Which is a bit of a shame.
Newstead, we had quite a few from Newstead, and I liked some of them, and some of them were fine, but I can't remember which one's which. So they had an oaked version of Two to the Valley, that was really good. Moon Jelly Aged Malted Porter, I think I liked that. I think it's just a really good. I think
at that point I was a bit overdone.
Yeah. We're very much overdone.
Yeah. Another one, again, I don't like sours. I don't think you like this one. 112 Jetty Road Amaretto Sour. I actually enjoy that because I like
there's
Amaretto.
There's a lot of people that have commented on the Amaretto
Sour. It was mint. Again, I think it is substantial.
I don't think I liked it, just not a flavour. I'm a big fan
of it. You don't like almonds and sour, wouldn't it?
Yeah, Amaretto, not a huge fan, so.
But at that point, again, there were such big beers I sort of needed it at that point. So it was like, okay, this is a rocking thing. Probably won't like it by itself. But again, at that point, it was a good beer.
There's a beer company that I've never heard of, Earth Beer Company.
Yes.
We're a great yarn with these guys.
We're going to give these to us.
Byron Bay sort of area, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
They're from Byron Bay, small brewery, just starting to, get around the bottom.
Straps, I suppose.
Yeah. The only one I remember, I think we had the Oak Aged Chocolate and Bourbon Stout, I think.
It was
cool. And I remember it being really good. I had a good chat with him as well.
Yeah, because we had like a schooner at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't we? Yeah, I can't remember again.
Yeah.
Well, there for a bit though, chatting.
We were there for a while.
Yeah.
Which, I was just wanting to move on because I could see the little creature Stoutini. Oh, all of them.
Yeah.
Okay, let's wrap this up. the booze is starting to hit me. I'm going to get cut off any moment now.
Yeah, but again, we're going to get those guys on the podcast.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get in touch with them.
A bit more about their brewing aspect and their way they do things, which would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Get their love out there because some of these guys need a bit of standout.
It'd be good if it's a lot of the smaller players. I wish it was more of the Earth Beer companies and the Australian Beer Company, the smaller ones that haven't quite reached it.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of discovering new breweries. If you're going there and drinking the same beers and same breweries that you had before, which is fine, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's good to discover all the niche guys.
It's a real good opportunity to find those sorts of breweries.
In saying that, though, not to get away from the smaller guys, what actually blew me away
was when we were talking to the guys from Little Creatures.
Yep.
Is how the brewer still has the ability to brew their own beer without being
manipulated. I think
that actually surprised me.
Yeah, I think Little Creatures of White Rabbit, they've got a pretty good setup there with Lion. Like, Lion's just let them do what they want. Yeah,
free reign.
You know, make the stuff for the masses. You know, the pale ale, the Rogers, and all that. But they still have the freedom to do the niche stuff. Like,
they're sort of almost. It's a smart business plan from
Lion. The creative juices play. Yeah,
yeah, you keep the guy that makes a good beer that's making you money. So
and there's still passion from the guys behind there as well. Like,
which we like too.
It's very, very easy to think, oh, these big breweries, they don't give a rat's ass. They're just mass producing, you know, swill. But these guys care, and I think they're passionate about the beers they make, and it's made a good yarn with the guy there.
Especially, look, what stands out for me, normally when you have big corporations, there's always negativity, toxicity, and all that sort of comes with it. People don't want to be a part of that organisation. They're just there because of the job.
Yeah, but you're a number.
Yeah, 100%. But what clearly stood out with Little Creatures is everyone there can love being there.
Yeah.
And they love that organisation. Even being under that Lion umbrella.
Yeah.
Which, again, I just went, you know what? That's cool. And again, we're looking at might be getting those.
Best beer of the night? What was your best beer of the night?
There was a... I don't have it in front of me, but there was a, I believe it's a double dry hop red hazy IPA.
Mm.
Goliath, I think, rings a bell.
I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember, but I remember enough to go, this could be a game changer.
Yeah.
That was the
actually, I vaguely remember. Yeah.
Like, it's not like the traditional red hazy IPAs. It was a different thing, but you could really get a trend behind it.
It was, it wasn't just they just throwing a whole bunch of stuff in the brew. They've done something completely different, and there's no one like that there.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. But again, I like a good red.
Yep.
I love a good brown ale. And this was there.
Yeah.
I should have done my homework and found, you know, who made it. I'll probably bring it up next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine, Little Creature Stout Tea is probably one of my beers of the night. Same with Black Ops Old Greg. Yeah. It was up there. The Nitro version of Old Greg was superb. And then just for the fact that it was so weird and it worked was the lamb souvlaki beer was something special just because it was so weird and it was tasty. So
it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Second beer.
Yeah, finally. we talked ourselves dry. All right, time now for beer number two in Show and Tell. It's my turn up, and the beer I've brought to share with the class is from Working Title Brewery. This is Red Velvet Red Rye Ale in a big old 500ml can, which was too big for the shelf in the fridge at home.
And we do like the guys at Working Title.
Absolutely. So, there's not a lot of info on the side, other than it contains malt, hops, and yeast, so good start for a beer there.
Something different, eh?
Yeah, exactly. No, there's no like lumps of like chocolate and coffee and anything like that stuck in it.
There's no lactose.
Lactose. So, all right.
Where beer should be.
Let's crack on.
Just see the colour of this one.
It's winning.
Yeah.
Not sort of reddy brown Connor ale there, so. Mm.
Very close to like a brown, but not quite the brown.
It's just got enough of a, sort of reddish tinge.
You did well at that point. You got the generous pour.
Oh, fuck. Good thing I'm not driving. Mm.
Enough there. You want to steal some of Chris's there?
Yeah.
Give some of that back there, pal.
Yep. Oh, you nailed it. Oh. Well done.
Look at that.
All right, good.
now Pity's got the generous pour. That's fine.
Got a slight brownie colour head.
Yeah, sort of light, sort of tan, sort of coloured head, sort of things.
Which is good.
A bit of colour there. It's not completely white.
It's not thick.
And this is part of the second batch of beers they had. We had the spilt milk a few episodes ago, which is really nice. Simple sort of stuff. This is part of the next four beers they launched. I believe the next round's coming up very soon. But
It smells the part.
Yeah, it has that familiar sort of brown ale.
Definitely crafty.
So a nice little bit of like fruitiness on the nose as well. It's almost like a there's a light. I say almost like a cherry kind of like fruitiness there too.
Like raisin?
Flavor's not what I was expecting, but
good, it's clean, it's crisp.
It's very...
Yeah.
It's a bit dry, not too bad. Nice bitter. Not a lot of spice though.
There's a little bit of spice, but it's quite sort of smooth.
Subtle.
Yeah. It's...
Mm. Good, that aftertaste. Isn't, that slight caramelized raisin taste.
It kind of
evolves. It's a little bit of... not quite chocolate, but going down that sort of
roasty.
Yeah,
that could be the malts as well, the grains.
Yeah,
toasted grains.
It's got there's almost a bit of biscuity kind of.
I think biscuit's probably the better. Mm. Yeah. Sort of like a shortbready or a buttery sort of biscuity. Sort of.
Smooth.
It's quite a dry finish as well. Got this sort of dry. That's what I get. When it dries out the palate, and then you got the little bit of like the flecks of red spice kind of in the background there. It smells fruitier than what it actually tastes.
Yes. I find.
Which is deceiving, but good.
Mm.
You like a bit of something on the nose. I like the bitter.
Mm.
I like the roasty taste at the end.
Yep.
It's very balanced. It's probably one of the better red ales we've had in a while.
I've had a few crackers.
Have you? It's better one I've had in a while.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I mean, they had good or not good.
You need to miss the mark on
I've said it before, the red ale market this year has the quality skyrocketed. Everyone's had a crack at the last couple of years and played around with it, and this year so many breweries have just absolutely nailed the red ales. It's never been something I've leant into that much, but this year it's been more and more that have just really impressed me. This is enjoyable. It's very very subtle in its delivery of flavors. Just little bits there.
Everything's there, but it's not like a slap in the face sort of.
Yeah.
Flavours, everything just balances.
So I was just wondering at the moment if it's a bit cold at the moment. I think when it warms a bit, those flavours will loosen up a bit.
Bigger abundance.
Yeah,
there is a good transition from the fruity nose to drinking it to the bitter body to a nice sort of
sweet and biscuity finish. There's
with that.
There's three levels.
You can really feel it on the side of your tongue though.
That's
like. No, I really like it.
Well, do we let it build to room temperature?
Wrap the hands around the glasses and warm it up. Yes.
Do we discuss something else whilst this?
Well, we can sit about that actually, because we thought we'd do we're halfway through the year, roughly.
Close enough.
It's like how I cut things in half. Like, that's my half of a sandwich. You can have the tiny half.
My beer pause.
Pretty much, actually. A little bit for you. We thought, we're halfway through. Yes, a bit of a review and a discussion and, where we are for our famous Golden Oldies awards.
It'll also make it easier when we do the next one.
Exactly.
So we don't have to remember an entire year.
We just recap on this one. Yeah. Oh, is that what I thought?
And any other ones that we pick up.
So this is not the actual awards. Not that we actually have actual awards to give out, but this is just a discussion of where our heads are and what's our favourite thing so far in the first 6+ months of the year so far. So do you want to start with the best or the worst? Or the
always go with shit first.
Get your shit out of the way first, though.
So the disappointments for 2021... so far.
Yep. You want to sell the bad beers first?
I've had a few bad beers. I've just sort of tried to ignore them. And they've just faded into memory. Most of the bad beers I've had have been on the podcast.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. I'm just trying to think. Do you want to touch on your...
Yeah, so I've got a few things. Actually, not too many. Well, the worst beers I've had... Well, actually, the biggest letdown, I'll say, probably Month of Sundays, I mentioned before. That's one of the biggest letdowns. And along similar lines, Via Nipa from Dainton. I thought that was a massive letdown as well. But vanilla chocolate Nipa style beer, which I probably shouldn't have been expecting much. But
it's like putting chicken in fruit salad.
Yeah, pretty much. That just didn't work. And I've got to say, in general, I've only had a couple of Dainton beers this year, and none of them have been very good.
I haven't had one this year, I think we had the
Flamingo Sour or something like that on the podcast. And that was disappointing. That was pretty average. That one, I think there's been another one there as well. I know Dainton throw a lot of shit at the wall when not all of it sticks.
When it does stick,
when it does stick, it's really good. But the ones I've had is the shit that spawns on the floor.
Yeah.
I think I ran that analogy into the ground.
Yep.
And the other beers I want that are left with a bad taste in my mouth, literally. was the Bright Brewing Barrel Aged Penicillin Cocktail Sour.
Oh, yes. Oh yeah, can't wait for that one.
Yeah, that was horrendous. It was
when you call something penicillin, it's not.
It's one of those ones. What is this? I just got to know what it is. And I thought that the outside of the can had like a lemon and sugar cubes and stuff on it. So I thought, oh, it'd be like lemony kind of cocktail sour. Yeah. That might be interesting. But it just tastes like smoke. Ugh. Like it was just nothing but the smoke just destroyed everything with it, and it took
too hard.
Yeah, it was a train wreck. And the other one that was pretty funky is it was a honey porter from Iron House, and it was pretty bad as well. And I've never heard of them. I never looked at them since. So.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough, too.
I'm trying to think what's made my list. Yeah, that really could stand out.
Yeah, and I've got to say, a brewery that's a massive letdown for me these days is BrewDog.
Oh.
I think the more I hear about it, they've had a lot of bad publicity at the moment. The more you read about them, the more of a lot dodgy-ass company they seem to be. The latest one, this one, I think, oh, God, these guys are just full of shit. They had a competition in the UK where if you get a six-pack of cans, or get a card in the cans, and you get a gold can in there, it's a $15,000 solid gold can that you win. These people have got these cans. Well, look at that. Oh, let's go get this valued. And they take it to the jewelers, and it's a brass can with gold plating worth about $500, $1,000.
When you think about it, like, what's the price of gold at the moment? 2,600 an ounce. Yeah. How many ounces are in a beer? 10 ounces. So technically it's meant to be $20,000 if you've got something gold plated. Yeah.
So they kind of a few dodgy things, a few claims. There's a big open letter that ex-staff members put up, and it's all about the bullying culture, negative culture. Read about it. Like, now, these guys are a bit sus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they did give us the brush at Gabs. It was being a bit of a cop.
Yeah.
Not many names, but...
he brushed us off, and he...
Guess what, BrewDog? You're the new moon dog.
All right, so my bad beers of the year.
Yep, go for it.
The Soapbox Sarsaparilla Porter. That was a real disappointment.
That was a disappointment, actually.
I was really excited by the sarsaparilla, and it just didn't work.
Yeah. It wasn't even the fact that if we tasted sarsaparilla and we didn't like it, I would have preferred that.
Yep.
But the fact it just didn't taste like sarsaparilla, it just tasted awful.
It was a real letdown. Yeah. Black Ops Chambo.
Yeah.
It's one of the few Black Ops beers where I just went, no, definitely wouldn't have that one again.
Yep.
So
that was a... Was it Blood Orange? That one?
Blood Orange. Was it Blood Orange IPA or something?
Yeah.
It was a weird combination of stuff. The Liberty Brewing beer that we had on the show.
Yeah. See, that wasn't good, but I would have put it one of the worst, but yeah, it wasn't great.
It was bad.
It also loses points because my car broke down at the first choice when I was picking that one up. So, screw you, Libby. You broke my car.
The other one was I've had a couple of Margarita Goes beers this year and I've all been shit.
Yeah. The whole cocktail into beer thing, so it's just a running theme at the moment.
Yeah.
Espresso martini's the current one because it's winter. It works well because it's coffee and dark beers, no worries. But
that's right,
The margarita thing was going there for a while and it wasn't really... Yeah. Was it a pina colada's the other as well?
A pina colada.
Stop doing pina coladas.
Yeah, they just haven't worked either.
Actually, for me, stop buying them because I don't actually like pina coladas. I don't know why all of a sudden I go and think, oh, I love that other beer.
I don't like pina coladas either, but I keep thinking to buy them just for the hope that there's just going to be that one that has that right balance of pineapple, coconut, and that rummy flavor, and it's just going to be epic. But no, that would be my disappointing beers.
Chris, anything?
Oh, disappointing beer. Yamundi Bundy Rum.
Yes. Yeah.
I can't even remember the rest of it.
Yamundi, your Bundy. Spiced Bundy Rum with ginger beer and lime. And it's a good idea, but it was just...
It should work.
It's like putting...
If they made it properly, like, they soak the beer, the IPA, whatever it is, in a Bundy beer barrel.
Yeah.
But instead, they actually just added rum to the beer.
Yeah.
And
it's like putting lipstick on a pig.
Yeah. It's literally a beer I left in Chris's fridge.
That's why I drank it.
It's a
Technically, it's lower than a three. Just so
I mean, as a marketing exercise, it worked because I hate Bunny, but I went down my way to buy that. So
it was interesting. It was like, oh, this could be pretty. And then you're like, lipstick on a pig. Perfect. Yep. And the other one, actually, it was the Slipstream Halloween one. This last year's one.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It wasn't the
pumpkin one.
Yeah, it wasn't as... I mean, you know, we were talking about cinnamon before. That needed more of that.
We gave that a few raspberries last year on the Halloween episode. Yeah, that was pretty bad. Actually, I got another big letdown. Yeah. This is... I'm probably more disappointed because I miss out, but a bit of a letdown is actually Ballistic.
Yes.
They recently had released the sequel to my favorite beer from last year, was the Coup de Grace. Their barrel age Imperial Stout. Love that beer. My favorite beer of last year. I gave it my top Golden Oldies award. They released the sequel to that this year.
Yep.
You can only get it if you went to a $120 a head meal at one of their breweries. They had one at Salisbury, one at Springfield. There's the only way. They're not releasing to the general public. You can't go to the brew house. The only way you can get it is you go to this goddamn meal.
Oh, exclusive.
No. It's exclusive. It's like, screw you. I don't.
Here's the funny part. You'll go to the meal and then be like, guess what, guys? We're going to release it to the public.
Yeah. And that'll be a big difference. They can't go back on the word because they're saying they've said it quite clearly, the only way to get the coup d'etat, it's called, is by going to the meal. They're not releasing it. Other than that, there's 100 bottles and they're all gone. It's like, well, that's really...
Been a little bit of disappointment. Some... Just a little bit disappointed with Ballistic in general this year. They don't engage with us, which is just rude, considering the amount that we plug them.
They've sold out.
Also, just the variety of beers this year.
They are transitioning into...
They're going mainstream.
Yeah, they're hitting the big market.
They're finding their identity still.
Yeah. But I always argue with the fact that they've got two breweries that are actually... pretty close together when you consider Salisbury and Springfield Lace.
Yeah.
That one's not more of a concept version, particularly the Salisbury, the original one. And Springfield Lace is there. I get that that's just more of a... It's more of a bar that just sells ballistics.
Correct.
Whereas, the original one, I feel that there should be more
fun stuff coming out of it. Yeah, their market they're going for is completely changed. Like, they're not going for the... They're not going for us, like, you know, the craft beer enthusiasts. They're going for...
The Great Northern First Country.
They're going for something different. They're going for more the upmarket diner and the upmarket drinker.
Yes.
They're going for that. Like, it was telling that they had a survey thing. They sent out emails, fill in the survey and we'll do some market research. And, you know, I like to support them. I filled it in. This is me. I'm a craft beer enthusiast. Love that. Didn't get a call back. So I imagine they were not going for a craft beer enthusiast like myself. They're going for mass market, which is fine. That's how they grow a business. There's more people that aren't enthusiasts than are. So it makes sense. But
I get the transition. It's been disappointing. Yeah,
but then on the flip side, again, they are still going after enthusiasts with a $120 per head dinner thing with the exclusive beers.
Funnily enough, I'm starting to move away from trying as many beers of theirs when they do actually bring them out, because of it, they just seem to be alienating sort of that the more experimental craft beer drinker.
Let's get some good stuff.
Definitely.
Should we talk best breweries first?
Best breweries.
Well, to go against everything, one of my favorite breweries this year is probably Ballistic. Just because it's probably the weight of numbers of beers, because they're my local brewery.
Yeah.
There's a few beers that stood out, and yes, I agree. Like, some of the beers have been a bit iffy and stuff, but lately they've been pretty good. But again, I've had so many of the beers, it's kind of they're in the top there. They're not my favorite this year. For share consistency, I've got to mention Garage Project because they just get out of the park every time. I've had a few extra ones of them in New Zealand as well. One I've only sort of like dabbled in a couple of the beers, but I think deserves a shout out. Black Flag Brewing from up Sunshine Coast. Again, we mentioned the Not Head of Spiders beer.
I'm liking these guys. You know, more and more. I think I ragged on them because they got a shit weird name.
I had the Hopeless Romantic beer, whatever. That one was really good. I have a few of those are really good.
I'd have to do a Sunny Coast special at some stage because what?
Ten Toes are up there. Brouhaha's up there. Moffat Beach Brewing is up there.
Might have to be an overnight one.
And the other two, I can't split from probably two of my favourite breweries this year, Ether Brewing and Orland Brewing.
Yeah,
they are absolutely knocking out of the park. so many quality releases. So yeah.
Yes.
That's a great idea. Sunny Coast road trip.
Mm.
Yeah.
We should vlog it too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, get video. Yeah, I mean, we'll tee it up with them and we'll get in there and...
All In didn't make mine this year, but they made our original main Golden Oldies.
Yep.
But Feral Brewery actually made mine.
Mm.
And simply from two beers and two beers that just surprised me.
Yep.
The Shooter's Juicy IPA. It was just
was a cracker. It was an absolute cracker.
And then Dark Matter Porter. It was just two surprisingly good beers. Yep. So they made it. Sea Legs, they just keep producing great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Ether, Dunkin's. It's been probably the first year that I've actually had a few Dunkin's beers.
Yep.
And they're cracking ones.
I haven't had enough of theirs. For one or two of theirs, I haven't had enough of theirs to get to know them well enough, I think.
I've been disappointed on the sours that have come out this year. The only good sours that I've had have been from Dunkin's.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
So, and then Mr. Banks. They just...
Mr. Banks.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, you had a bad, but a good... Cake Eater was good.
Cake Eater was amazing, yes. And
was that last year's Cake Eater or this year's?
It was... I had it this year, but it was their first Cake Eater release, and that was phenomenal.
Yeah.
But then obviously a month of Sundays was... Yeah.
My turn, huh?
Yeah.
I'll do breweries real quick.
Yeah, go ahead. Yep.
Black Ops.
Yep.
Yeah, that'll be up there, and then I'll go with Ballistic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, two... Stick with the theme. Start with B. Not quite an A.
So, favourite beers. I sound like a hypocrite. Ballistic Imperial Brown Ale. I love that beer. Yeah. I think they're absolute cracker. That's the best
beer. Cool can, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the best beer they've had this year. Just shame they just, don't love us. Lost Palms Dark Red IPA. That's, my favourite red beer of the year. Hipster Doofus ESB from Moffat Beach Brewing had on tap up on Sunshine Coast. That was amazing. That's probably close to the number one. And then also in there, Ether Vela Folk Red Velvet Nitro was outstanding. So
yeah.
I could have put a whole bunch of more dark beers in there. I was trying to write not put every single dark beer on that.
Yeah.
Ben Spoke, Crankshaft.
Yep.
Number one. You have to. Like, that was a great beer. I think I'm going to your place. I think we're sitting there drunk one day playing Mario Kart.
Yeah, probably.
Did it come in the big box?
Yes.
It did?
Yeah, it probably was actually, yeah.
Yeah, because I traded you the Oat XBA Ballistic one.
Yeah, I lost out on that deal.
The guava one.
The Oat Guava.
And the second one, Ballistic Hazy Pale Ale.
Yeah.
That's my new Alamo. It used to be Bolt XBA when you couldn't decide.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my two.
So for me, Ether Quadraphonic.
Yeah.
Definitely got into...
It was very nearly on my list, but then I'll just keep it short.
Yeah. And I've had trouble splitting them, so I've put them as equal as from the same brewery. Dunkin's, their Blueberry Ripple Ice Cream Sour, and also their Blueberry and Chocolate Ice Cream Sour.
Mm.
Both of them are cracking beers, so I'm just giving them same brewery, same thing. Same with Mr. Banks. There's three of them that are just cracking beers, and that was their Cool Whip.
Yep.
I'm not going to do...
Cool Whip.
Yep. I was trying to be nice for the listeners, and that hard WH sound's going to be nice on the ears.
Well, Warren's not here, so I've got to do it for him. So yep. Cool Whip.
Yeah, so that was an amazing beer. Also, Where Dreams Go to Die, and also their Freak Shake. Those three from those guys were just exceptional. Also put All In Brewing's their initialism. It's just for the amount of booze that went into that, how easy it was to drink.
It was an absolute cracker.
It was just ridiculous. Yep. And then also Hope Brewery's Sunny Boy 2.0, their Pine Lime Sour.
Mm.
It's not often that the sequel's better than the original, and that's one of them. So that's my sort of top beers so far this year. Did have a little bang. We're close to getting in on both beers and brewery as well. So
they had the same thing last year with me. Like, I just haven't had enough of their stuff to not put it up there. They're really, really, really good brewery, but just need to get more of their stuff. So
their Sneeper and their the one that they did with Old Wives Ales, their Shore Fine Whatever,
yep.
was Yeah.
They were great. And I had the undercover fashion police and Ira, the India Red Owl. They're both really good.
Nice.
Yeah. Speaking of Red Owls, we got racing at this point.
Oh, we do, eh?
Yeah, we did need to give it a score.
I finished mine. Oh, we're all finished. Yeah, we're all finished.
Fucking beer, Jenny. I think someone was coming in drunk. That
a lot of true to my theory, though, I was really enjoying it towards the end. As it sort of warmed up, it kind of...
There was more flavours coming through. Yeah.
Well, traditionally, you should drink it at anywhere between 2 and 5 degrees. Yes. Not one. Yeah. Go first, Russ.
Oh, pressure on me, set the standard. We give it a solid 8.
Oh, I like that.
That's where I was going, was an 8. It's a good beer, not quite that exceptional, but really good, really worthwhile going out and getting one.
You won't leave it at your neighbours?
Definitely not.
If they'll 40 minute drive, you go and get it?
No, I wouldn't even leave it. I'll just make sure that I'm packing it with me on the way out. So
that's why definitely, you don't even take it.
Yeah, you just don't forget. You don't forget it.
But you'd go and drive to get it.
Yeah,
it does make me think. I think I did overrate the tinnies though. I'm regretting the 6.
I was saying that earlier.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah. I was saying like, now because it's only like, if that's an 8. That's not a 6.
There's a 5. I reckon you should take it back to a 5.
I'll take it back to a 5.
Oh, yeah. Peer pressure.
Peer pressure. I was going to take it back to a 4.
It's circumstantial.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's how, you know, it's changing.
I'll give it a 5. The titties now are the 5, updated score.
Yeah.
And then, this stays at 8.
Because it hits the box of the purpose.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It is. The titties is perfectly average.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yes. I like that.
Yeah.
And it's for the average person, the average price point, the average...
It doesn't taste terrible.
It's the epitome of 5.
It doesn't taste terrible. In fact, I can barely remember what it tasted like.
Yes.
What did it... Anyway, it's perfectly forgettable. Yeah. It's a 5. Red Velvet. 8.
Oh, you go first, Penny.
I'm in agreement.
Yeah, you don't want to put anything else to it?
No.
Yeah. I'm the same. Like... It had a good body. It was bitter. It was dark. It transitioned through your mouth really well. And you could really pinpoint the change in it.
The
balance, still delicate, but still flavoursome.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
I won't quite give it a 9. If it was a bit more spicy and had a bit more of that, well, a bit more oaty, I suppose.
There's just that smidge to take it to that next level.
Yeah, but I'll definitely an 8.
Which is funny, because I think we said that about the last one.
Yeah, the milk spilt milk.
We've only had
two of their beers, but they seem to do just very simple, clean tasting beer. They seem to be their
delicate,
their
refined. Thing, so.
And that, again, that is based on only two different beers we've had. Yeah. And I've shared both of them, so
they've both been really good.
Yeah,
100%.
And because I compare it, like, I don't know whether it's the same sort of style. I compare it to the Rye Ale, the All Rise on Me or All Rise on You from Selig, which was amazing. I thought it was amazing. You weren't a big fan of it, Chris.
No.
I think.
Oh no, I love that.
You did love it.
Yeah. I thought drinking out front. Remember
the driveway? What was it?
Yeah.
What a douche.
Driveway beers that day.
Because I think the All Rise on Me just cranked it up a little.
That's
bit.
Had more punchy flavours. Mm. Yeah. And then if I'm comparing it to a red ale, again, dark red IPA from Lost Farms is just by far and away my favourite red.
So that's who made All Rise on Me?
The Sea Legs. Oh, no, Sea Legs made it. All right, moving swiftly on to beer number 3, Pity. What have you brought for the class to share?
So I have bought Morning Star, a Belgian dark ale from Brick Lane.
Brick Lane.
Yes.
I like these guys.
Friends of the show.
Yeah, friends of the show.
So I thought...
well, the sales rippers. I don't know about the brewers, but yeah.
We'll be after our review.
It's funny because I have commented before that I haven't been a big fan of a lot of the Brick Lane stuff that I've tried.
Perfect.
In saying that, I had... Belgium.
You should stir that with your finger.
A bit.
There's not a coffee, mate. What are you doing?
Oh, we're going
a bit more. Yeah. Belgian triple.
Yep.
Which was really enjoyable. So I thought.
And I was quite impressed with the range of beers we had on the Brickland Brewing Special while back. Their sours were surprisingly good for someone that doesn't really like sours that much.
Yep.
And the Hoppy Red was really enjoyable as well. Nice. Although I still haven't re-brought to it one yet.
Yeah. So it's dark fruit, raisins, big bread, malty, character.
Caramel and toast. Try and look for that.
Ooh, it smells good.
Melded with Belgian yeast characters of pear, pineapple, clove, and banana.
I smell raisins and bananas.
You can really smell that banana.
The banana's really coming through. The more sort of you work around the glass, the banana, you know, pops through.
Oh, put it up
your
nose.
It's like...
literally having nose bears on the podcast, yeah, mate. Come on, mate. I just sit there and just smell it. It smells amazing. Yeah, it smells like banoffee pie.
There's definite banana, and it's that... I still think banana bread sort of...
It's there, but it's not.
It's there, yeah, yeah.
It could be cranked up more.
Yeah.
It could be cranked up more.
It needs steroids.
Do we have to warm this one up as well?
I think we do. It is a dark beer. Yeah.
It's one where...
If you actually drank it not even in the fridge, like just had it on the bench, I reckon that'd be quite tasty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's similar style to like the Red Velvet. But this is more... It does have a bit of the banana flavour peeking through, but just slightly coming through.
But that's getting with the temperature.
Yeah.
The hotter it is, the...
Yeah.
Well, aroma-wise, it's the best smelling beer we've had today.
7.1%.
It's actually more for the strongest beer of the day as well. Yeah.
What is it?
7.1.
Bullshit.
7.1.
Yeah.
You repeat that.
No.
That doesn't taste any stronger than like the Red Velvet. That's only 6%.
I wouldn't pick that was 7%. Not at all.
It's the first stubby I've ever brought to the show as well.
Is it? Oh, yeah.
Even got a fancy opener. But give it credit. Good colour.
Yeah.
Crisp, clear. Yeah. We're worried about the head light and frothy.
Yeah, the head went away, but we just washed the glasses, so there might
just
be a bit of water on the glass. They might have done that. Give it a bit of a doubt. I like it, but it's just not...
It's not quite...
It's not hitting hard enough for me. Yeah. I kind of want it.
I don't know where you're pity.
It's frustrating because, again, it's one of those ones where I think there's actually a good beer in there. It's just not quite cranked up enough.
Whereas
the working title, I think the difference is it was just such a delicate, smooth, well-balanced beer that it sort of compensates for not cranking up enough, whereas this one's not quite...
Given that it's called a Belgian dark ale, I actually expect it to be darker. It's quite a similar colour to the red white ale.
Yeah.
It's very reddy brown.
It's like the next shade off a pale.
But
Dunkel's normally not as... this looks clear, Chris. Dunkel's a bit more like...
It's the unfiltered.
It's normally a bit... This seems like fairly transparent and normally a bit less transparent.
Yeah, it's not... There's cloudiness, but not that real haze, unfiltered,
Especially for dark ale, you know.
Yeah.
I'd say that.
Speaking of lagers, I had the Black Ops versus Sanctus. It wasn't too bad. The colour on it was incredible. It was a really deep red.
Which was your favourite? The red, the maroon versus blue?
I only got the maroon one.
Oh, you only got the maroon?
Yeah.
Oh, well, what's the point of that?
Yeah.
You weren't missing much.
No. Well, that's what I assumed, that they were basically going to be the same beer.
They're different. The blues version was just a straight lager, and it was more forgettable than the Tinnies beer.
Yeah.
It was just a standard lager. There was nothing spectacular about it. The maroon's one was the better of the two.
Actually, I got a cool story. Oh, wait for this. Obviously, I went to the in-laws' brewery on the weekend.
Yep.
Last week. And I was working. I play this little game when I'm in there, where these people come from. You try and pick it. You can pick Brisbane folk. You pick Gold Coast folk. You pick people from, out west or whatever. Because people from all walks of life come on this place.
Yeah.
And this couple came in with their two kids and started chatting. Anyway... Kind of long story short, I thought, not from Brisbane. I'm feeling New South Wales. They're pretty trendy. Turned up in a BMW X5, which is quite common. Anyway, I'm going to Byron Bay. Have to be. Anyway, come in. Da-da, from Byron Bay. Oh, cool. Anyway, kept chatting. And photos to prove it, their kids actually play soccer with Chris Hemsworth's
twins.
But they're actually friends. Outside of...
Yep.
No, they're actually friends. You know what I mean? And I said to him, I said... They were there for a while. They had lunch and stuff like that. And we'll talk for a couple of hours. And And I said to him, I said, what's he like? Is he Hollywood humble or is he actually humble? And he said, no, he's actually really chill.
Yeah.
His wife literally walks around barefoot. He's friends with my wife. Mm. You know, I mean, shops at her shop. You know, the kids, like, we went to Saturday soccer and we have dumplings. I'm thinking, who the f*** eats dumplings? kids soccer.
That's
hot chips
and
oil or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
it's a sausage roll, a hot dog.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
A snag on a piece of bread.
And he said the nicest human he's ever met was Matt Day.
Really?
There you go. Yeah. I thought that's interesting.
I did love the Matt Damon reporting back to Hollywood Live from Brisbane. He's in the TAB or something.
Yeah, But he said Matt Damon, like, they'll go, like, they do like parties and stuff because they're celebs. They don't go out in public. They're, like, it's all in-house stuff. And they said that they'll have a party at their house.
Hmm.
They said Matt Damon was the only one that sort of, at the end of the night, said, thanks for inviting me. I even brought you a gift. Who does that? I go to Russell's and steal his beers.
I go and lock up the good ones these days.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of cool.
How's your warmed up beers going there?
I think you're pretty good now.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a lot better warm. You could smell that banana really.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if mine changed too much. It got boozier. Like, the booze starts coming out from it a lot more.
I thought the banana and the wheatiness sort of got together a little bit more rather than being two distinct flavors. It was more of a balance to it when it warmed up rather than, that contrast.
Yeah.
It's a tough one to
It's
score.
A tough one to mark because when... I've had a bit of Belgian beers and a bit of Dunkels and that, and that's where I've got to line up in. Probably a bit harsh. I'm probably going to give it a 6, which is a bit harsh considering I only gave like the Tinnies a 5. It's a lot better than Tinnies, but as far as other Belgian style beers like Dunkels and that sort of stuff, it's not the best Dunkel I've had. It's not the best Belgian style beer. The flavours just aren't as intense as I've had before on similar style beers, so that's why I think it's fine. Like, you're not going to pick it up and, be disappointed with it.
Yeah.
You're just going to pick it up and think, well, it's okay.
Yes.
So, if I left it in Chris's fridge, you can have it.
Yeah. You wouldn't come back to it.
No.
You go, mate.
I'm going to throw out the first half mark, and it's only because...
Didn't take long, did it? It's three beers in, the half mark's come
it's
back.
It's more than a one mark above the Tinnies. Yeah. But it's less than one mark below the working title bit.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I think 6.5 is where I'm at. And it's, again, it's the intensity. If it just punched a little bit more, it'd definitely be a 7 or 8. It's just not quite there. But then also doesn't have the balance and just that refined flavor that the working title did. So 6.5.
Right. That's really interesting. Brick Lane, like them as a brewery.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty good. I don't want to bag them.
No, absolutely not.
Definitely.
And I've done that before, so.
in terms of Dunkels, I've had a lot of Dunkels. I was actually drinking a few on the weekend. Warmer it got, the more pronounced banana, or the sort of smooth, sweet sort of...
For me, the warmer it got, it started tasting more like almost like raisin toast kind of sort of flavour to it. So
that's you get that.
Yeah,
you get that sort of malty body, like the biscuit sort of. It was coming together.
Yeah,
but again, there was nothing that sort of exploded, like in your mouth. Like some of the Dunkels I have, you'd be thinking like especially like that. You look at more of like banoffee pie, raisins with caramel. Things
they're
like
just
that.
Wow.
Yeah, on a biscuit. Yeah, like that's that type of. Sort of stuff. This was sort of lacking. It was like it was watered down and mass produced, which technically it is.
Yeah.
I won't give it a 6, but in terms of Dunkel, I really think it is a good base and I'm going to call it a 5.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But again, I reckon if we had it a couple more degrees hotter, it might be a different experience.
Might
go to a 6 or a 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I'm at it. So I'm not going to totally tarnish it. It's not shit ass. It's not great. It's
there's good, potential but not great. There. Just it hasn't quite.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. 7%, that's the other thing.
Yeah.
I didn't find that. That's a good thing, though.
Yeah.
Scary.
As it warmed up, the booziness, it started to come through a little bit. But, it was still very smooth.
Well, definitely working total beer of the day.
Yeah.
Yep. I think,
I think both times we've had it on, it's been the beer of the day.
Yeah.
Working total. Give us some love.
Well, that's about all we have time for. We've run over time today. We're paying extra for overtime, penalty rates and all that.
Who the fuck's paying us?
We get 250% of the $0 we get, so yes. it's high.
Oh, we're getting high finance structure.
Yeah, I know, right? So that's all we have time for. I've been Russell.
I've been Anthony.
I'm Chris.
And we'll catch you next time.